to hear from Brendan last week. If you were here, if you weren't here, it's online. So you can have a listen to that from last week. And it was, yeah, just really good to hear where he's been and what God's been doing. And I'm sure there's a lot more if you want to sit down and have a coffee with him at some time. There's probably a whole lot more that he could share with you. It was interesting for me it was quite some time ago last year, maybe in about, I don't know actually when it was, that I started to prepare this message that I'm going to share with you today. But the Lord had me share something else on that time, and that was video link. This is the first time since April that I've been up here speaking live to you to share a word. Since April last year, everything else has been online. But after hearing Brendan last week, the Lord prompted me back to this word that I'd been preparing then. So that's what I'm going to share with you this morning. And it comes from Brendan. One of the scriptures that he quoted last week was from Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. And it's when Jesus is leaving. It's what we know as the Great Commission. And Jesus said this to his disciples. And I just want to say to you this morning, who in here considers themselves to be a disciple of Jesus? Okay, so this is to you. This is for us this morning. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven as the body of Christ. And however we go about doing it and however we look as a church, the fact is our purpose hasn't changed. And the reason that we're here hasn't changed. And the instructions that Jesus gave his people hasn't changed. The instructions that he gave the disciples and that he's given us hasn't changed. And another unchangeable fact is the promise that we have in the truth that Jesus spoke to his disciples when he said, be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So be sure of this means you can bank your life on it. You can take it to the bank. You can count on it. Be sure of this without a doubt. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Before we go any further looking at this, because I want to just look at that one verse this morning, that one part of the verse that says, be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. But before we go any further, I've been reminded this week, and I want to remind you that before we do anything for God, it's critical that we spend time with Him. We can't even love God on our own. That's what I've been reminded of this week. All my devotional time this week, every time I open the Word, when God speaks to me, He's like, you can't even love me on your own. You're dependent on me even for that. And it's only because God has shed his love or poured out his love into our hearts that we can even love him the way that he wants to be loved. So before we go any further into 2022, and as we move forward, it's critical, and I would encourage you, spend time with God. Know his heart, recognize his voice. And ask the Holy Spirit to help you love him the way he should be loved. Loving God is not a duty that we perform in our own strength. It's the Holy Spirit alone who will pour out his love in our hearts. All right, let's get with this verse. I want to look at this verse a few different ways this morning. So I'm going to read it out to you now about 1, 2, 3, 4 times. And we've done this before with other Bible verses. And it's very powerful when you do this. So I'm going to read it. Each time I'm going to put an emphasis on a different word in that verse. So we're going to start with the beginning. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So I want to just take some time now to have a look at some of these emphasis and see what that means. Let's take, because this is Jesus' promise to us. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And it's very deep, and there's a lot of a lot of encouragement, I believe, in there for us as we move forward into whatever God has for us in 2022. One thing I do know, without a doubt, is he wants us to reach the lost. And he wants us to make disciples, not just win people. I think Brendan touched on this last week. We don't just want to get them over the line. Yep, you're saved now. And actually, salvation doesn't happen like that. It's not a line we cross. It's a walk we take. It's a process. Doing that, stepping over that threshold is the beginning of the walk, but it's not the be all and end all. I think it was prayed in pre-service prayer this morning. It's he who endures to the end. It's not how we start, it's how we finish. So let's have a look. I am with you even to the end of the age. In the Gospel of John, Jesus makes 7 I am statements about himself that reveal his character to us. When I hear the word I am, or those words, I am reminded of Moses. When Moses said, who will I say sent me, who are you? And God says, I am. And even in that statement alone, Jesus is announcing to the world, I am God. I am. Let's have a look at these 7 I am statements that he makes in John. In chapter 6 of John, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Here Jesus reveals that he is the sustainer of life. Bread talks about our food. Bread talks about what we need to survive every day. Jesus reveals that he is the sustainer of life. And more than our physical needs, he declares that he is the sustainer of our spiritual life. More important than solving our physical hunger for food through bread, Jesus offers himself as the bread of life to fulfill deeper longings and an eternal need. Jesus is the bread of life. So when Jesus says, I am with you even to the end of the age, as you go and make disciples, I want you to be aware that this promise is connected to an instruction. Whenever we're going, he promises to be with us even to the end of the age. You know, I keep quoting Brendan, and it's because he shared this last week. But, you know, he mentioned the whenever there's a therefore, you should understand what it's there for, right? Now, sometimes as Christians, we take promises of God and pluck them out of thin air and apply them to every situation. And that's not always the case. And then we wonder why God's let us down, why his promise hasn't come true for us. And it's because we take promises out of context and don't apply them the way that Jesus meant for them to be applied for. It's not a mistake that promise is there. It's connected to as you go and make disciples of men and women and all nations, I will be with you always. That's what the promise is connected to. So the bread of life, the sustainer of life, promises that he will be with us as we go and make disciples. The next I am statement is in chapter 8. I am the light of the world. The darkness cannot change its condition. Darkness can't change its own condition. The world can't change its own condition. It's trying frantically to do that through all sorts of ways and means. But darkness can't change its own condition. Men can't change their own human heart. And I know that for a fact, because I can't change my own heart. Only God can change my heart. Only a heart that's surrendered to him can be changed. Light must enter and invade. One cannot see or lead others in the darkness. So light is necessary to guide us as we walk forward. So as we go and make disciples, the bread of life is with us, the sustainer and the giver of life, and the light of the world promises to be with us. And as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we will be a witness to the darkness. the great I am. In chapter 10 of John, Jesus, these two are connected together. I am the door or the gate, and I am the good shepherd. If you read chapter 10, those two I am statements are together. Jesus is both the only way, he's the door, he's the only way a person enters into the kingdom of God. And he is the one who gives his life for the sheep, who he knows and protects. He is the one who gathers the sheep and cares for them. He's the shepherd. And he also, and he's also the means by which they enter and are kept safe. As we go, it's the good shepherd who leads us to the sheep who are lost. I think as we go and we witness in this world, it's very important that we're open to the Holy Spirit to show us which ones. Which ones, you know, we should be witnessing to everybody. There's that, this is where, yeah, okay. We should be witnessing to everyone. There's the parable about the fishermen and the end of the age, when and the tares and the wheat and all of those things, where Jesus says, you know, you go out and you witness and you bring them in, and at the end of the age, I'll sort them out. So we go and we witness, but God, who do you want me to really input my time into? You know, we should be, our life should be a witness to everyone. God, who do you really want me to invest in? Who do you want me to spend time with? You're the shepherd. You know the ones who need it. So be my shepherd and guide me to your lost sheep. And Jesus promises that if we go, that's what he'll do. You don't have to do it. We don't have to build up this, we don't have to build up this thing in us that so that we can go and we can do it, because if we just remember who the one is that's with us as we go, I am with you, and I promise that I'll be with you. Jesus promises these things to us. So I am the door, I am the good shepherd. Chapter 11 in John, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. God is the creator and life giver, granting life to creation and breathing life into creation. God is the giver of all life. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And when God created Adam, Adam chose sin, which brought about death for mankind and brokenness for that creation. But Jesus comes as the second Adam with righteousness, and he's blameless in all his ways, and he comes to undo what Adam did and to reverse the curse. In Romans 5, 12, 21, you can read about that, and 1 Corinthians 15. Where Adam brought about death and decay, Jesus gives life and restoration. So as we introduce people to Jesus, it's Jesus that brings the life and the restoration. It's Jesus that breathes life into them. You don't have to do that. Sometimes we take too much on our own that we think is our responsibility as we go and make disciples. It's Jesus who does this, the Spirit, through his Spirit. In chapter 14 of John, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The world would tell us that there are many ways to God. How many different ways have you heard about there is to get to God? And God is just what you believe and who you think he is. And as long as you get to the end, you know, that's the world just tries to tell us there's many ways to God. Jesus declares that he is the only way. And that's one thing that doesn't change. As modern as we get and as advanced as we get as a society and as clever as we get and as many things that we invent in our technology and how wonderful we are, there is only one way. And that will never change. And that way is Jesus. There is only one way to the Father, and he is also at the same time, Jesus, the full revelation of the Father. You know, I think it's in Colossians where it talks about in Jesus, in bodily form, lived the fullness of God. That is a massive statement, the fullness of God. Jesus reveals the truth of the Father. In chapter 15 of John, Jesus says, I am the true vine. Jesus is the source of eternal life for us who are dead and are useless branches apart from him. You know, with all these big storms that have been going on lately, if you walk around or look around, as soon as a branch is disconnected from the tree, it dies. There, I've seen so many branches hanging in trees that are dead and, you know, but they're just sort of hanging there. And it's sort of like they're still trying to look like they're part of the tree. And they're just hanging in the tree, but they're dead. They're brown. They don't look like the rest of the tree. It's obvious that they're dead. And apart from Jesus, it's obvious that we're dead. And we can try and pretend. You can try and pretend and come and sit in church and think, oh, if I just come and be there, then I'll look like a Christian. Or if I associate with the right people, I'll look like a Christian. It will be obvious to the world that you're dead if you're not connected to the vine. And Jesus promises that when we go connected to the vine, witnessing to the world, he will be with us even to the end of the age. This is the one who has promised to be with us. As we go out and make disciples, he's the one who promises to be with us, doing all of those things, being the bread of life, being the light of the world, being the door and the gate and the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth and the life and the true vine. This is the one who says, I am. That's whose power we go in. That's whose authority we go in, the great I am. He is the one with us even to the end of the age. I am with you even to the end of the age. The word with, I want to look at three different meanings of this word. And the first one I want to look at is, let's turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, and I'm reading from the New Living, and I'm going to read starting at verse 6. And thinking about the word with. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. Church, how much of that is going on in the world around about us right now? Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. We are united with Christ. I am with you. I am with you. You are united to Christ. You have died and your life is now hidden with Christ Jesus. You are with Christ. We have been united with him. When we go and make disciples, it isn't us that go. It's not even Christ in us. It's not like Jesus comes in and makes me better. That's a little misconception that we have. Becoming a Christian is not making our behaviour better. It's not Jesus coming in and making me better. What happens is I die. There's nothing good in me, so I die and it's Christ in me. So we are united with Christ. So when we go, and when I'm talking about going, it might be to Thailand, it might be overseas, but it might be to the main street of Mombok. It might be when you go back home for lunch to the people that you live with. It might be your neighbour. The person that you see, it's whenever we go out of this building, when we go, it's not even us, it's Christ with us. We are united with Christ. Let's have a look at Romans 8. Romans 8, 31. This is the second point I want to make about the word with. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us, whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honour at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble? I hope not, because we have trouble. Or calamity, or are persecuted, or hungry, or destitute, or in danger, or threatened with death. As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day, we are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Church, God is for us. He is with us, not against us. He is with us. He is on our side. We are with him. He's not against us. He is for us. What confidence. If we go and we're being witnesses for him, he's with us. He's on our side. And the third point I want to make about God with us, or Jesus with us as we go, means he's with us. He's not absent. He's not at a distance. He's very present. He's with us. God with us. The Holy Spirit is in us. God's presence has always been very important to God's people. In Exodus 33, 12 to 17, let me read this to you. One day Moses said to the Lord, "You've been telling me, take these people up to the promised land, but you haven't told me who you'll send with me. You have told me, I know you by name, and I look favorably on you. If it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways so that I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And remember that this nation is your very own people." The Lord replied, "I will personally go with you, Moses." Imagine that. Standing there having a conversation with God, and he says, "I will personally go with you." That's what Jesus says in Matthew 28. As you go, I will personally go with you. That's incredible. "I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you." Then Moses said, "If you don't personally go with us, then don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and on your people if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on the earth." So Jesus, if you're not going, I'm not going. But Jesus has promised, if you go, I am going. I will personally go with you. Deuteronomy 31:6. This is now Moses speaking to Joshua and passing on to him. "So be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid and don't panic. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you." Church, as we go into 2022, I feel like the promise the Lord is reminding us today is don't panic. I'm personally going with you. I'm with you. I'm for you. I'm for you, MCF. I've planted you. If I didn't want you to be here, you wouldn't be here. I've planted you. I've got a purpose for you. And I personally promise that I'm going to go with you. What confidence that should create in us. I'm speaking to myself, what confidence that if God's on our side, then what are we worried about? King David, and we've heard this psalm for a couple of weeks now, the 23rd psalm. King David said, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I've got everything that I need. And we've already heard Jesus say, I am the good shepherd, and I personally am going to go with you. So you've got everything that you need. Even if you walk through the darkest valley, I'm there. I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. When we go, we have the promise that I am is with us, on our side. We are united with him. It's not us, not anything in us that we're presenting to the world, but Jesus. With him, he is for us, not against us, and he is ever present. We've only looked at two words. How rich is the word of God? I am with you. I am with you. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I am with you as an individual, Jesus says. I am with you, and I personally promise to go with you. But not only that, he says, I am with you. The yous, the sheep. I'm with yous. I am with you. I'm with you as a body. Not only, I don't think that word is one or the other. I think it means both. I am with you individually, personally. But I am also with you, MCF. I am with you as a body. As you go out into Mombolk or Lilydale or Mount Evelyn or Olinda or Emerald or wherever it is, Macclesfield, wherever it is that we go, I am with you. He's with us in this place. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This word always means each of the days, every one of the days, daily presence. There is not a day that God is not with us. This is a promise that we take by faith. Even when we don't see it, even when we don't feel it, always. There's no parentheses after that. There's not a time when Jesus says, I'm with you except when this happens or when that happens, or I'm with you except when coronavirus is around or when you have to wear a mask or when you have to do what. He says, I'm with you always. If you're going, if you're being my people, I am with you always. There's never a day where Jesus isn't with us. It's a promise that we take by faith. You know, Colossians, we read that. Just as you, how does that go again? Just as you started to follow Christ, so continue that way. We followed Christ through faith. That was a step of faith we make, and that's the rest of our walk is made by faith. Because if you could see it, I don't know if you'd go, actually. I don't know if we would do. If we could see it, if we could feel it. But the fact that God is with us always, that's it. Whether you feel it or not, God, all my life you have been faithful. I can sing that today with gusto because I feel it today. But there have been times when I haven't felt that God is with me. But the truth is, my feelings aren't thank goodness, my feelings aren't the ruler of creation or the ruler of the heavens and the earth. My feelings are surrendered to the Lord, and the Lord says, I am with you always. There's never a day I'm not with you. So we accept that by faith. So by faith, church, we accept moving into 2022 that God is with us, even to the end of the age. The promise is to the very end of the age. And so this command lasts till the end of the age. There will come a time where we don't have to go anymore because he'll have come, right? But until that time, this command is till the end of the age. It's not until you hit 65. I'm sorry. I hear all those. I hear that. We don't retire from the Great Commission. There's nowhere in that where Jesus says, go and make disciples, but until you reach a certain age or a certain, you know, till you've done it a certain amount of times. It's till the end of the age. That's how long the promise lasts. That's how long the command lasts for. So the command's the same as it was for the disciples in that day. It is for us as a church today to go and make disciples of all nations. The promise of his I am constant presence means power, protection and peace. In his presence means power because we fulfill the Great Commission when we work in his name. There's power in the presence of Jesus. There's power when we go out and we know that Jesus is personally going with us. There's great confidence in that for me. I don't know about you, but I don't like walking into a place full of people that I don't know, if I haven't been there before. And Charlie and I used to always, it would always be like, you go first. No, you go first. Should we go in there? There was always a who's going to go first because we, when you're not sure. But it's not like that for us because Jesus says, I'm personally going with you. You know, if you've got someone who, when you walk in somewhere and you know that people, you know, respect that, then that's a good thing, right? So Jesus says, I'm personally going with you, church. So there's power in his presence. There's protection in his presence. His presence means protection because we are never out of his sight. We're never out of his supervision. And if God is for us, then who can be against us? These scriptures speak for themselves. I don't really need to stand up here and expound it to you. I think sometimes we, and I've heard, this is not actually my saying, it's another preacher's saying, but it's so true. Our issue is we actually don't have a problem understanding the Word of God. The problem is we understand the Word of God half the time. Do you know what I mean? We like to make it more complicated than it is, but it speaks for itself. We understand it. His protection, his presence is protection. His presence is peace. His presence means peace because it always reminds us that the church belongs to Jesus. It is his church and his work. How then can we worry? Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. We like to, and it's true, for a time, Satan has been given some free rein, so to speak, on the earth. But the truth is, the authority is still in Jesus' hands. That's what this says. Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. So when we go in his name, whatever authority the enemy has been given for this time is overridden by a higher authority. And that's the name of Jesus. So when we go in his name, we have authority because all authority has been given to Jesus in heaven and on earth. So because of this, church, go and make disciples. Making a disciple takes time. Making a disciple takes a commitment of time, not just getting someone over the line, but it's a commitment of time. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Teach. And this word was not directed. Jesus didn't say, now all the preachers and teachers come over here because I've got something to tell you. Teach them. He spoke it to all the disciples. So you teach. You teach them. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And church, this is what I want to leave you with this morning. Be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Thank you, God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you because your word is truth. Your word stands alone, Lord God, and you have opened each one of our hearts. Each one of us has your Holy Spirit. And you have, by your Holy Spirit, opened your word to us and allowed us and enabled us to understand it. So, Lord, I pray for each one of us that we would not just be hearers of the word, but we would be doers of the word. And that we would get great confidence and assurance in this reminder that you've given us today, that we can be sure that I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Help us to persevere, Lord. Help us to stay till the end, to stand and to be your witnesses and your ambassadors in this place where you've planted us, Father God. Give us that confidence that you personally go with us, Lord, and that all authority in heaven and on earth is yours, and we give you praise and honor and glory today. Amen.